special morning because I noticed after about a month's absence, two guys whose wife's name are Deborah show up. It's kind of like, so you're going to be talking about my wife today, huh? So I sent Charles in charge to take care of you. That's what we're talking about, Deborah. And I was watching Judge Judy yesterday. So the question is, what did Judge Judy and Deborah have in common? Nothing. Yeah, yeah. But then I watched the 10 highlights of Judge Judy, and it's interesting. You know, the kind of the theme song of the book of Judges is that the people did evil in the sight of God. That's sad theme song. Well, Judge Judy deals with that. She scolds the dishonest, right? She loves to scold. It's kind of a trait of Deborah, but she didn't really do that. She doesn't like fools. And I think Deborah would be in that category. But here we are. Deborah comes at a time when Israel continues to spiral down. And yet we have the unrelenting grace of God is the theme. So it's the spiraling down and the grace of God covering them. And it's one of those books that reminds us, for those who ever think, well, look what I did. I pulled myself up my bootstrap. I'm a self-made man. We all know the answer to that is laughter. God laughs at that. God laughs at our plans. But here we are in this particular book. We have two chapters that cover this, Judges 4 and 5. And I'm going to be covering 4, because if I cover 4, I've covered 5. 5 is the same thing as 4. One is in prose, or historical documentation and narrative, and the other is in poetry. There, one is identifying, talking about the narrative of the history of Israel when Deborah was judge, and the other is commemorating it in poetry. Remember, what are judges? They're kinds of saviors in a certain way. They're pre-incarnate models of what Christ would do. We find those some other places in Scripture. And they're catalysts. They're catalysts for renewal. Moses was like that a little bit. If you go to Exodus 14:15, kind of a parallel, then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, divide up the water, divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." He said that you divide the water. We knew who divided the water, right? But they kept forgetting that over and over and over and over again, and that's where we are again today in Judges. So we've got this group who've done evil in the sight of the Lord. We've talked already about idolatry being a big deal in this time. David, we've been hearing a little bit about idolatry in sermons at church, right? Yes. Yeah. Idolatry is anything that puts anything, anyone other than God in central place in our life, in our heart. And that's what we had here. So it's the age of idolatry. Verse 2, chapter 4, tells us the Lord sold them into slavery. Slavery of Jabin, who was an evil king, and And at that time, he had as a general, if you will, a barbaric general named Sisera. Not Cicero. Cicero with an S. This is the guy who had 900 chariots with iron wheels, right? And they were scared of that. We talked already about, were they afraid? I can't do it, they said, just like the 12 that spies that went in, Joshua and Caleb with them. We can't enter the land. There are giants there. We can't do it. We can't do it. Or is it we won't do it? This was a lot about won't. They won't do it. They were afraid. They were afraid of this guy. When we think about idolatry in our lives, because they had put idolatry first in their lives, often we have to get burned to recognize the enemy. God will cause the enemy in our lives, if it's something other than him, to take advantage of us, to cause us to be found out, to give us pain, until we realize that we're doing something in place of God. And so this is the story of Israel, cycle after cycle after cycle. It's actually the story of mankind, isn't it? Same thing. We need to think about ourselves. So Deborah is named prophetess. A prophet and a judge. She was a prophetess. What is a prophet? They speak for God. They're God speakers. And all people who preach are supposed to be prophetic. What is being prophetic? You're not talking about the future, and you're not looking in a crystal ball. You're identifying what the Word of God means. You're making clear what God wants through His intended Word. So we're reading about His intended message here. And so Deborah, who was married, was named judge. She was named judge and leader of Israel. So that was back in the Old Testament. We're talking a really long time ago, right? Can you think of a leader? So a woman takes over Israel. Can you think of a woman who took over Israel in the 21st century? Golda Meir. From what city did Golda Meir hail? Is that something? That's really pretty incredible. And these were in the days when, we live in a world today where radical feminism still blares around, and man, male, has always run the earth. Here's an example. No, not at all. Perhaps at your tables today, I don't think I put it down as a question, but you can think of other female women leaders who were great examples of power in humility, power in weakness, courage. There are two books with women's names on them. You can name them right away, right? Ruth, Esther. Two incredible, very different stories, right? Very different stories. Interesting to look at. God uses men or women equally. It's the circumstances that are most appropriate. And yes, there's a time here when patriarchs seem to be the way things were. So it's fascinating that we find Deborah here in the lead. So we've got these awful characters. 900 chariots. They had cruelty. They had oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. Whoa, and we are reading there in verse 3. So, Deborah says, to Barak, the general, her general, take 10,000, go to Mount Tabor, and let's go. And what does this guy, Barak and Barak, what's the biblical meaning of his name? That's fascinating. I didn't see him. I don't see this as the first thing I would choose when I looked at him, but anybody look at that? It's lightning. As if he was like the superhero or something. And he turns around in verse 9 and says, I'll go if you go. Now, I'll go if you go. Is that kind of like, are you being a chicken? Or are you afraid? Or if you're sending me, why don't you be a good leader and come with me? Probably all of the above are true. But he was a good general. He was a faithful general. Where else do we find the name of Barak in Scripture? In Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. He's listed in there amongst some pretty powerful names, right? So why is he listed in there? He had faith, and he had faith in his leader. We could talk at length at this point about faith in our leaders. I think that's part of the reason we're looking at this book, Faith in Our Leaders. There is a psychologist by the name of Allender who's written a number of books, incredible books about leadership. And one book is called Leading with a Limp. And you could look at a biblical story right away about one of the patriarchs who is usually known as the deceiver. What was his name? Jacob, right? Jacob finally wrestled with God. His hip was touched, dislocated. He was changed forever and reminded who is in charge, right? Good leaders know who's in charge. Good leaders have humility. Good leaders they recognize that God's power is made perfect in their weakness. They are grateful people. They have zeal. They have focus. Some of these things Deborah had. And they're called. We're all called. We're all called by God. He wants us to use His wisdom. So, this woman who goes with Barak, who's a man who's humble, we read that they go out, and as they go out, they somehow, with 10,000 men, they're able to lure Sisera, the commander, into a river valley, and the Lord gives them over to them. It says in verse 8, and his troops to the Kishon River, and give him into your hands. So they go, and the Lord hands over Sisera. But before he gets handed over, he runs. There's a defeat that's going on. There's a rout that's going on, if you will. And it says in the 14th verse, go this day, the Lord has given Sisera over into your hands. And so the prophetess, the judge, is speaking what God has spoken to her. And Sisera is routed. He flees in the 15th verse. And he flees to the tent of Jael. Jael is another woman. whose name means friendly, but she's an enemy of Israel. Here's some of these contrasts or ironies we find in Scripture. God uses donkeys. God uses enemies. Enemy kings that sent Israel back with billions of dollars to rebuild the temple. Enemy kings who end up somehow becoming good friends of prophets like Daniel. We see God using a lot of people. And here, Jael, who's the wife of Heber, H-E-B-E-R, somehow he flees to her tent. And we read about this in this fourth chapter, 15th, 17th verse. Come right in. Don't be afraid, she says. It's kind of odd here. Enemies. He's feeling safe in this place. And he says, I'm thirsty. So she gives him a drink. I don't know if there's anything significant in that other than hospitality. And then she covers him with a blanket as if to hide him from the enemy. And I'll speak for you. I'll be here for you. And then she does one of those wild things. And I think last week there was one of our leaders mentioned that next week we're going to get this incredible thing that this woman, Jael, does. What does she do next? Kills him, drives a tent stake or some sort of stake right through his temple, right through his head. Yikes. And so Barak shows up, and wow, there he is, the enemy, dead, Sisera. And on that day, the 23rd verse, we read that God subdued Jabin before the Israelites, just as God had promised to Deborah that they would be subdued. And the Israelites grew stronger and stronger. The Canaanite king is conquered. We'll see the Canaanites again and lots of other ites as we go forward because these cycles will continue. But God has used the courage of a prophetess and a judge to overcome. She has led in battle. She's gone out and she's strengthened the troops with the word of God and the promises of God. So often when I visit people in the hospital, I'm there. A lot of people don't know what a chaplain is. A lot of them think it's Charlie. But those that know what I am are either afraid, am I dying, or just don't know what to expect. I'm primarily an encourager and a comforter. Deborah, also one of the definitions of a Deborah, is an encourager. And she's one that helps others. And that's what I'm primarily in the hospital for. And I use often the promises of God to help people find strength, find courage in times when they're afraid. Like, we go back to Joshua and Caleb. Caleb was a man of God who said, don't worry, God will deliver them to us. We can do it. We can go over. And so he, like Deborah and Barak, were courageous. And when we study characters like that, we find strength. When we find things like, the Lord is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. His love endures forever. Fear not. I am with you. His power, my power. There was Paul. He had this thorn in his side. Three times he prays, just like Jesus did, take this cup from me. Now, Jesus knew what was going to happen, but he was also 100% man, 100% human, and he prayed. But here, Paul, God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And I think that's one of the messages here in this book. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. They were far outnumbered. They were against these iron chariots. They were terrified. And as we will find more and more as we go through this, of course, the Old Testament so often are stories of God's faithfulness. God said it. God will do it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So we can trust him. So I think not being afraid and going forward where we can, as the Song of Deborah, as this is called, we can sing praises to God, and that's really what they were doing. They were singing praises to Deborah, but they were singing praises to God for his faithfulness and that he is the one that gave them the strength. He is the one that gives us the strength today. So you may find times in your life when you found strength one way or another. We can talk about God uses men and women. God's people win if they trust in him. Evil doesn't always win. Today, Jesus in the world's eye is not what we need. We know we do. God will hand us over to our idolatries, messages of this book. Don't write people off. It's another message of this book. The Israelites outnumbered. This strange name that comes up out of nowhere, Jael, like, and Haben, Haber. Haber was mentioned. Why? Sometimes someone goes by, we just don't realize, but they're God's creation and God may be using them. That may be a message here. And God delivers us in the most unexpected times. And often, at least I found, it's God delivers us in just in time. And I find it very hard to wait at times for him and not take over, you know, on my own like Abraham and Sarah did, but to wait for him because he knows and he will be the one that will bring us through. So there's an awful lot we can find here in this short book. And so as we break into our groups, let's bring up some thoughts in our own lives and anything else you might find of for fun. Thanks, guys.